Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. This Sunday, the Tulsa Symphony will present a rare event, a performance of Wynton Marsalis's All Rise, Symphony No. 1, with the composer and trumpeter, the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra, and a massive festival choir. This work, performed in remembrance of the Tulsa Race Massacre Centennial, is a composition written on themes of unity and spiritual ascendance, and it's a tour de force for orchestra, jazz orchestra, and choir alike, with music recalling the American experience, the good, the bad, and the reconciliation and redemption. It features a choir prepared by Damien Sneed, the music director of Chorale Le Chateau, an artist who has worked with Grammy winners ranging from classical, gospel, jazz, and contemporary pop music, and the performance will be conducted by a major figure in the classical world, my guest today, David Robertson. He was the music director of the St. Louis Symphony for 13 seasons, has been artistic director of the Sydney Symphony in Australia, and a regular guest with the world's finest orchestras and opera companies, from the New York Phil to the Metropolitan Opera, the Concertgebouw, the Bavarian Radio Symphony, and the list goes on and on. He's currently the director of conducting studies at the Juilliard School, and he'll lead the combined forces of the Tulsa Symphony and Festival Chorus, the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra with Wynton Marsalis in All Rise, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the BOK Center. And he joins us to discuss this work today. David Robertson, it's wonderful to speak with you. Thanks very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
You've worked with Wynton Marsalis and the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra, recorded his Swing Symphony. Before we talk about All Rise, what do we need to know about Wynton Marsalis, the composer?
Oh, man. How long have you got? I guess one of the things that one should say at the outset is there is sometimes a misunderstanding, or not necessarily a misunderstanding, a different perception of the idea of what a composer is. And this has to do with the traditions of written and non-written music. We think of a composer as associated with written music. And so it's sometimes a surprise for people to think of someone like Duke Ellington as a composer, whereas Duke Ellington and some of it with Strayhorn, there was a huge amount of music written down. The conflict, I think, in people's minds comes from the fact that in jazz, you may write down a certain number of bars and a chord progression that goes with those bars and an indication of the kind of style that you want an improvisation to have, but then someone makes something up. And this is very much a part of the whole jazz experience and the ethos and the way it works. In the case of someone like Wynton, or in fact any of the members of the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra, they all can compose in this way. And we hear it when they take a solo. In the rehearsal last night, there was, in one of the movements, a place where Marcus Printup, one of the trumpet players, takes a solo. And, you know, usually you hear cascades of notes, and they have different shapes and melisma and density and sparseness and various things. And the accompaniment is reacting in real time to that and may provide some inspiration. But what was amazing to me, listening to it last night, and this is just a rehearsal, and I know that in tonight's rehearsal, the dress rehearsal, the concert, we will not expect the same things to come out of Marcus. But he did the most fantastic variation on the music that had just been played. In other words, the quote-unquote written down music that Wynton had asked everyone to play. That was sensational. And so for me, this was like what we're talking about when Beethoven takes a piece of Mozart and writes a set of piano variations on it. We know that it's Mozart's piece, but what we are impressed with is how Beethoven imagines what you can do with this piece. And that is what Marcus did last night with Wynton's music. So coming back to your original question, what should we need to know about Wynton as a composer, is that that is the kind of experience he has grown up with his whole life. This idea of here is a sense or an idea about music that exists already when I have come into the world, and how can I use my own variations on top of that? In a sense, it is that everything is a remix idea, which just goes right through human culture, and this is why we have patents, because In fact, everything is a recombination of different ideas. Every human being is a recombination of different DNA. So, in fact, in Wynton's case, what you will often hear is music that is referencing other musics and doing so with a particular creative purpose. And so over, say, the 12 movements of All Rise, he is able, through this combination of different styles and different genres and different approaches, to create an extraordinary arc of narrative that only he could do. And so I think when you think of the composer, it's not just the local event of, oh, this sounds like a gospel congregation singing. Oh, this sounds like a Kansas City-style Basie type of passage. Oh, this sounds much more like a kind of early cool jazz or bebop, post-bop type of passage. Rather than those local moments, it's actually how the whole thing ties together over the course of a single evening to give you a unique picture of the human condition.
Just like Beethoven, like Mahler, like Duke Ellington, it all sounds like Wynton Marsalis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the really tricky thing. It's like when you pick up the phone and somebody you know very well answers, you have no doubt that that is their voice. And this is the number of different things that you need to have mastery over before that is how your musical opus will be considered is really very impressive.
And All Rise is perhaps one of his best tour de force pieces. It's Mahlerian in its length and breadth. And, you know, I've had many conductors over the years say, you know, when you play a Mahler symphony, you're taking a journey. And this piece is exactly like that. You're taking a journey. You follow the stops along the way, and you arrive at a destination, which for this community and this country at this particular point, it's an important message. And this message is so vitally expressed.
It could not be more appropriate.
This, as I mentioned, it's a tour de force for the orchestra, for the jazz orchestra, for the vocal soloist, and this mass choir for this piece. This is a lot of forces to marshal as conductor. Yeah. Talk about just organizing this piece from a conductor's standpoint.
In any sort of situation where there's communal learning going on, you need to create the space, I feel, where each person can do their very best. And so, you know, some of this is practical. How long do you spend working on a particular piece? How much do you make people aware of the responsibility that they may personally have to get their stuff in order so that everyone doesn't have to wait for them? You know, these are sorts of things. And so, you know, they'll be practical. Like last night was our first rehearsal with the whole group together. And I had made sure to ask if I could have some sectional rehearsals before with the orchestra, a meeting with the choir to meet them one-on-one before anybody else was around, because this allows you to work on things that are specific to those people. And the inherent stress in a large group of people of having one group feel that they're being singled out for things that are challenging, and having other people waiting while they try to surmount those challenges is the sort of thing that logistically I can help with. But then when we got everyone together, you know, the obvious thing would be, let's start right at the beginning and go. But in a piece that is as long as this, with my experience of many large-scale forms, whether those are operas or whether they are indeed something like a Mahler symphony or a contemporary piece that the orchestra is really just exploring for the very first time in the world, there are ways that you can help the sort of behavioral and cognitive psychology of human beings to get the best out of the learning process. So last night, it's 12 movements long. I did not start with movement one. I started with movement 12. And we went backwards, because one of the things that anyone who has been in a test situation knows is that the majority of your energy is right there at the beginning. And then, you know, you arrive with a full tank of gas. You don't want to necessarily have the hardest uphill battle when there's less fuel in the tank. And so in a strange way, you don't look at that rehearsal as just, it's tonight's rehearsal. You look at this, is this is one of however many we have, and this is where we need to get. So like on that proverbial journey with the vehicle, you say, you know, I'm going to have to drive this much, and then I'm going to have to stop here.
And I like that idea that, you know, this is, you know, what is it, 120 minutes, 115 minutes, 110 minutes, piece. And the end of this piece is so glorious. You have to have gas in the tank. But can we start at the beginning of this piece? My guest today is David Robertson. He's a director of conducting studies at Juilliard, but he's been the former music director of St. Louis Symphony, artistic director of the Sydney Symphony in Australia, countless positions in major orchestras, and you hear him regularly with the Chicago Symphony, the New York Philharmonic, Metropolitan Opera. He is guest conductor for the Tulsa Symphony's performance of Wynton Marsalis's All Rise, the Symphony No. 1, with the Tulsa Symphony, a festival chorus in the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra, and Wynton Marsalis, the composer, Sunday, June 6th at 3 o'clock at the BOK Center. The piece starts out with a piece called Jubal Step, and it is, I mean, this piece lets you know you're in for a journey from the very first bar.
Right, and the tempo marking at the very beginning is primal, which I just love. Because, of course, you know, there is this primal thing that animates us. You know, Dostoevsky in From the House of the Dead, which is about, you know, these people in a prison camp, you know, wrote, in every creature there is a spark of God. And so, in a sense, Wynton starts out with this initial spark, which is primal and is connected to everyone, that everybody has. You know, and all living things share this, at least all carbon-based life forms that we know. And so the buildup of that and the various ways in which dance and joy, the jubilation that is part of the root word, how that is expressed is something that comes in all the different forms, so that we already get a sense of, ladies and gentlemen, here is the size of the canvas we are going to fill up this evening. And that is a glorious thing. And everybody gets a chance to show off.
Yeah. Beginning with the choir, this primal Zuma vocalization just grows and grows and grows until the orchestra comes in. Yeah.
Right.
Why don't we hear a little that portion of that piece as we hear the choir give way to the orchestra. This is from Jubal Step from All Rise, a Wynton Marsalis' composition, which will be performed Sunday, June 6th at 3 o'clock with my guest today, guest conductor David Robertson. Music from Wynton Marsalis's All Rise, which will be performed Sunday, June 6th at the BOK Center with the Tulsa Symphony, the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra, a festival choir, and my guest, David Robertson. It's interesting. Each piece has its own particular sort of sense to it.
Yeah.
100 and 100, Go Slow, just this beautiful, beautiful tune. Wild Strumming of Fiddle, Save Us. Tell us about some of these pieces. It's almost you have a very different structure for each one of these pieces, but they all connect in a way.
Well, I think that the connecting thread, the binding force, is the experience that we have as human beings, both individually and collectively. So there is, you know, there is something in the sense of, in Go Slow, for example, starts out with a pastoral sense where you have the whole, you know, where we really are stopping to smell the roses, and the quality of that is not one that is just nostalgia, but is a reminder that there is a virtue in going slowly and not forgetting. The movement you referred to, 100 and 112, is something that comes from that experience that everyone has growing up with play. And in this case, the play is the play of words. 100 and 100 and 112 does not mean anything. It doesn't add up to anything. It is there just to play around with the sound that words have. And Winton told me that in fact, the words come from one time when his son was just making up a song. And sometimes our children can obsess over these things so much that I think at a certain point Winton said, you know, can't you leave that now? We've had enough of it. And so there are passages in it where it would seem almost that Winton has willfully set the accentuation of the text incorrectly. But it is all part of this play of, I'm just going to turn this thing around and see what I can do. And the horns who begin the movement have this wonderful sort of indication from Winton that says, you know, as if you are saying something really important, with this kind of fanfare-like, rhythmically unison chordal progression. And then he puts in brackets, but you're really not. You're really not saying. And so last night I was saying, you know, when you were a kid and you managed to get up on a hill and you said to all your friends, I am king of the hill, you know, no one for a moment thought that you're going to be the person that the Treasury Secretary is going to bring the accounting books of the land to. But that's fine. This is part of the whole thing about the play. So, you know, you get that and you get the pastoral aspect and then the wild strumming of fiddle. This is a show-off piece. And who in their life hasn't wanted to strut their stuff at some point? Every single one of us in some place. It's like, and you're feeling great about this. You bring in the stuff from the barbecue, right? Or, you know, you have done, or mom made this kind of a birthday party for the kids. And all of them go home with a little bag of, you know, just what it is that they would be delighted with. And this kind of thing is very natural human response. And he needs to take us there so that when we then suddenly get this idea of, you know, hang on a minute, save us, what's happening here? And play around with that, we can actually go to the places where we wouldn't necessarily want people to see us going. And I think the brilliance of a piece like this, I'm in my world, musical world, the first time it really happened to such an extent in a public sphere is the last movement of Tchaikovsky's Sixth Symphony, where after the parade, after the third movement of that symphony, where your team has won the Super Bowl, where your family got the lottery, where the parade in your town was the greatest it has ever been, whatever that thing is that we all experience together, we're all in the stadium and, you know, and the crowd goes wild. And then that's followed by something which every person who has gone wild in that crowd individually knows, where they go home and for whatever reason, the dike that is holding out the horrible dark water of the soul breaks, and you feel a kind of abysmal sadness. And the brilliance of Tchaikovsky's gambit with this, by putting that movement last, is that he allows a group of people together in the same place to experience that entirely lonesome, unique emotion together. And so one of the things that I think is brilliant in the text that Winton has created for this is that there is the biblical phrase from Isaiah, comfort ye my people, right? And he has turned this around to something which sounds similar and therefore has an extra meaning because it's comfort me. And this comes a couple of times before we actually start to hear the chorus then realize that this me is not just one person. It's not just you alone. And so we get, save us, O Lord. Please, O Lord, help us. Mercy. And so this collection of what it is together and the articulation of this type of thing then leads us into the cried, shouted, then sung. And then from this into look beyond. And when we look beyond our own confines, our own types of things, and then there's this build up towards the end where we really come up to a huge, colossal finish with all of the forces marshaled together and the notions of freedom and the notions of salvation that is possible for ourselves, for our neighbors, and for the whole community, and the complete inclusion of everyone in this challenge of conquering things. That's brought about.
And that is certainly a message that this last week and a half in Tulsa has been all about. It's about a reckoning. It's about a recognition and hopefully a redemption and working to change things in the future. And this music reflects that. And this is a theme that comes up in a lot of his writing over the years, some of it extended suites for jazz orchestra.
Yeah.
That idea of we have sinned, we repent, we are redeemed. And that theme is a big part of his music.
Yeah. It's a big part of humanity.
Yeah.
Because every new generation comes along and has to relearn. You know, you don't learn from other people's mistakes.
Well, let's hear a little more music from All Rise. You mentioned Look Beyond. Let's hear a little bit of music of Look Beyond. My guest today, David Robertson, will be leading the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra in Wynton Marsalis's All Rise with the composer and the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra and a festival choir this Sunday afternoon at 3 at the BOK Center. Here's music from All Rise. That's music by Wynton Marsalis, who will be featured with the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra, the Tulsa Symphony, and my guest, conductor David Robertson, who will be performing the piece Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the BOK Center. Now, after that moment you talked about, you say, okay, this could be the piece right here. And then all of a sudden, this piece continues. And you get these sort of pieces of, I call them almost like these moods. One is El Gran Baile de la Reina.
Yeah.
Again, it's this amalgam of Latin styles. You hear mambo. You hear a mambo that's every bit of mambo as, you know, Cachao or Leonard Bernstein. And then one of the things Wynton does, perhaps even better than Duke Ellington, is he has this great onomatopoeia sense in his music and his ability to... do a train. And I think Swing Symphony has a piece like that too.
It does indeed.
Which you've recorded with him. That is an amazing little piece of skill, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the thing is that one of the freedom that jazz offers is the ability to know that there are some rules and how much can you create knowing those rules? One of the things I love about Wynton when he's teaching at the Juilliard School, his alma mater, is to talk to the jazz players about the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And he will start out and ask them questions about the U.S. Constitution. And he'll say, you know, when they, you know, just look at him with blank stares and faces, is how can you expect to know what you can create if you don't know where the rules are and what the boundaries are? How can you go about making this without being aware of what it is that we have agreed to as the guidelines. And that, you know, that means that there is, it looks like there are, you know, don'ts in a set of rules. But in fact, there are a huge number of possibilities. And so the creative release for someone like Winton and the constant listening to all sorts of things means that not only he, but the entire Jazz Lincoln Center Orchestra are a group of people who have all of these possibilities to find music in all sorts of different things. And so that comes out when he is, you know, expressing something about a train. At the same time, he understands the deeper implications of what a train and what the railroad means as part of the American experience.
And the African-American experience, too.
The African-American experience, but the American experience, right? Mm-hmm. The expansion of the country, the connection between the different places, the idea of being able to have this structural network that combines people together. This is one of the things that I find wonderful about Winton's music, is that there are all the levels you can enjoy it on. You can enjoy it just as, man, I love this tune, or that rhythm is cool. But you, the moment you start digging deeper, there is no place that you don't hit pay dirt.
It sounds like it's a glorious experience to conduct. We look forward to hearing
it. Oh, man, it is just such a gas. I told the group last night, because every time I work with the Jazz at Lincoln Center people, you know, I remember the experience I have is that my facial muscles are just exhausted at the end of the day, because I am grinning the whole time like some sort of idiot. But it's just so full of joy, and the endorphin rush is just tremendous.
Well, we look forward to it. It will be an experience, and it takes place Sunday afternoon, June 6th at 3 o'clock at the BOK Center. The piece ends with the Saturday night slow drag, as Winton says. That's when things that should be confessed on Sunday take place, and it ends with I am, and Sunday morning,
yes,
God loves call. And it is an amazing conclusion, and we look forward to hearing it in person this weekend. David,
don't miss it, because it does not come up that often.
Yes. David Robertson, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Conductor David Robertson speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. He's the director of conducting studies at Juilliard and the guest conductor for the Tulsa Symphony's performance of Winton Marsalis's All Rise Symphony No. 1 with the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra and a festival chorus this Sunday, June 6th at 3 o'clock at the BOK Center. For information on tickets, visit tulsasymphony.org. We're going to leave you with more music from the symphony, the finale, here on Studio Tulsa. Studio Tulsa is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher.